Andy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Okay. Looking forward to Saturday. I kind of dug in earlier this morning and looked at what's coming together for the lineup, the Tom Fool and the Buescher and the Gotham, etc.
You gonna be pretending to come down?
No. We're going to Rochester to see the baby.
Yeah, you got to see the baby. Baby's like all grown up by now, isn't it?
The baby's gonna be six. Yeah,
college, another better word. Good time for college. I slept
good.
In a lounge at RIT once when we went up to the Dead. I think it was 82.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
RIT.
A whole bunch of us. Yep.
You guys invaded.
Played hearts all night.
I love it. That's great.
Rochester War Memorial. Is it still around?
I don't think so, actually. I think the War Memorial, it's a good question.
A lot of shows there.
We just drove downtown.
84, 2 and 85.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that place.
I've been to Syracuse.
I've been to the War Memorial just once, 82.
And there isn't one in Utica. Utica's the auditorium, right? The Utica.
Yeah, I actually missed. There's a show there in like 81 I missed. Syracuse place is huge. It's like a huge airport.
Yes. Yes, it is. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It is like a there. That's a perfect description.
Well, they started playing the carrier dome. I went there, too. Anyway.
That's got to be an awkward place for a concert.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, the acoustics, tolerable?
Yeah, fine.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I sat in weird different places every time, so yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, probably wouldn't be my first choice, but then again, you know, they didn't play the Beacon, so something I could do about that.
Well, and
so Gotham, you're excited about the Gotham? Gotham's going to have like 11 or 12 horses.
I've got the whole field here. It seems like, you know what's nice about it? It feels like it's being, for the most part, identified by one turn types, you know, that it isn't.
Well, I wouldn't, you know, a narrative that there aren't horses in there that can and will be effective going longer would be incorrect. But I think it's, you know, it's the nature of mile races, right? They feel as though horses that are more comfortable, you know, sprinting, you know, you have the, I don't know if he'll be the favorite, but the horse that comes out of that big win in the Swale. So he went at seven. They want to see how far he can go. And I imagine there are horses in there that, you know, hopes are obviously they can go forward. I mean, it's 50 points to winner, so there's a horse that's going to come out of this race and most likely run the Derby. And didn't Red Bullet win this race in 2000-whatever before winning the Preakness? I feel like he won this, and then he ran second to Fupeg and then skipped the Derby, right?
From the Wood to the... Yes, that does sound... You know what? I hadn't thought about that in forever.
I guess it was forever ago. It does feel like it, right?
20 years ago.
It doesn't feel that long to me, but I remember it well. You know, we've seen some very good horses win the Gotham. Gone West won the Gotham. Golds lost to Gotham. Long time ago.
I came down. When did I came to what?
Stay Thirsty won the Gotham. Good horse. It was two turns then. It was during the period we were running on the inner.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point. Because of March, and I hadn't thought about that for a while.
Let me go back and look at the history of the Gotham.
Secretary won this.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. The Buescher's coming up a good race, right? Lake Avenue.
Yes.
Maidan. Maiden, I mean, you know, the horse for Mark Hennig. That should be a good race.
You've got a great little tidbit, Andy, with Jack Sisterson's horse, because... here's Flapjack, and in 1978, Slapjack won it for Lou Goldfein.
Yeah, that's really
Flapjack, really, slapjack. I like
probably
it.
Elevates. Probably elevates. Cormorant won in 77. Zen won.
Cormorant. That's one of your favorites. Zen, you love Cormorant.
Zen was a brilliant 2-year-old that no one really talks about. I know he stood in Illinois. I don't know if he was an Illinois bred, but I know he stood in Illinois. But David Whiteley probably belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's going to get my vote. Zen was a brilliant 2-year-old, and he just never really went on as a 3-year-old. But he ran some very fast races as a 2-year-old, but he got hurt, and he didn't run the later races. It was that great Proud Appeal, when Proud Appeal beat Cure the Blues in that incredible race in 81. General Assembly won in 79. Colonel Moran, there's some good names in here. Turtle Prince with Richie also won the Wood. Wow. Butch Lanzini, Magombo, 86.
Magombo. Dr. Fager. Dr. Fager. Jay Hubby weighing in.
Correct. Secretariat.
I'd love it.
I mean, easy goer, obviously, and that I was there for that. And that remarkable. The track's extremely fast that day, but he was remarkable. God West. It's funny, their split divisions in at least 86 and 87, and then the Wikipedia page, they only list Magombo and Gone West, and I think there's another division. Private Terms was undefeated. He went on to win the Wood, too. He beat Seeking the Gold in the Wood. 36 Red for Nick. He was actually a really good horse. Kyle's our man. John Beach. Devil is Due and Lure. Dead Heating. As Indicated for Rick Schossberg. You ever talk to Rick about it? As Indicated?
No, actually. We know.
You should talk to Rick about that.
We will. We will.
He won the Pim Special, I want to say. Talking Man, who won the Wood, and I believe was favored in the Derby. Got nothing. Mike Rodham Smith. Romano Gucci, who I made a huge score on in his debut with Julie Crone. It's a funny story, actually. Smoking Mel Badge. There's Red Bullet. In recent years, Richie won on Survivalist. Derby last place finisher, Cowtown Cat. Visionaire, who won the King's Bishop, now Alan Jerkins. I Want Revenge, who might have won the Derby had he not gotten hurt.
Yeah.
Awesome Act, who ran that huge race for Jeremy Nocita. Stay Thirsty. Hanson. Probably didn't remember the Hanson.
I was there for that.
Remember by Jacks. Yeah. By the fight still running. Shagoff. It's a good thing somebody told somebody in that race that maybe they wanted to make sure that Irad stayed the rail for as much as long as they could. Jay Boy Zacco beat. Who did Jay Boy Zacco beat?
That was when, that would be 2 years ago?
2017. V-Cloud Computing.
Ah.
Anyhow, yeah.
It's going to be good. It's a nice mix of horses. And
I agree. Looking forward to it. Draw the race tomorrow. Looking forward to handicapping the whole card. We're also doing a show. I think we're doing a show from 5:30 to 7 on Saturday. And we're going to show the Gotham, the Tampa Bay Derby, the San Felipe, and at least one other stake from Santa Anita, and probably something else from Tampa as well. That'll be on Fox Sports 2.
The show on Saturday was, I mean, that was chock full.
It was fun. I had a good time with Greg and Richie. Poor Maggie came back in. I think she was on for about 18 seconds. I've never seen anybody bounce back. Maggie's setting a record for bouncing back from having her second child. Nice to see her. I think she's going to be back full time most of this month, I believe.
Now, and that'll, you know, certainly leading up to Wood Day, it'll come in handy if she gets a chance to, you know, kind of catch up on, you know, the bloodstock. When does Belmont, people, in fact, Dale was the guy who made me think of this yesterday, mentioning, you know, that he's close to breaking camp and sending horses back to Kentucky. When do they open Belmont, the main track, to start training?
You know, I don't start on the track maintenance team for a couple of weeks.
All right.
So you'll have to ask me then. Until then, you should probably ask Glenn Kozak.
I will. I'll send Glenn a note.
You got any other questions? You want to know, like,
How about the turf?
Is it Saratoga?
What about turf? What about the turf course? What are we looking at? It's got to be good.
Why don't you ask Glenn?
Very hopeful.
You want his number? I'll text it to you.
I got Glenn's number. I harass Glenn all the time. Every text I have to Glenn starts the same way. Sorry to bother you, but... that I ask him, are we on the turf? How's it look?
Right now, it looks like it's covered with.
They got the covering.
I'm sure they're hoping to get on it Wood Week.
Excellent.
And if the weather continues to be in the 40s and 50s a lot of the time, that won't be a problem. But it's all dependent on weather. You know?
Well, it just feels like we're in the right direction, and
listen,
that
Martin
it's going to come sooner
than
later.
Races for next week.
Well, and the beauty, you know, having that double wide course at Aqueduct, having the options, you know, to take as much advantage of it as possible. You know, by the way, you made me you're gonna laugh because you're saying, you know, what other crazy topics Naira related can I bring up? I will bring up that in the last 20 minutes, Andy, the phones are now open if people want to make their group reservations at Saratoga.
That's correct. There's operators standing by. You probably read the press release more carefully than I did.
I did, in fact, and I printed it out because, you think to yourself, oh my God, how can we be talking about Saratoga? How can we talk about Saratoga? It's, you know, plan ahead. Exactly. And here's the specifics for people that I can give you.
Here's the thing.
The coordinated for Andy's appearance here, 10 a.m. today, the phones opened. Hospitality reservations for 2020. That includes the 1863 Club, the Festival Tent, the Big Red Spring Tent, the Miller Lite Party Tent, the Easy Goer. Every place that you could think of for corporate and group hospitality. So if you know you're going to have a group, get ahead of this, and they can accommodate up to 500 in various configurations.
Okay. Thank you for that public service announcement.
Not at all.
Appreciate
PSA.
That.
Exactly.
I can go now, right?
No. Some thoughts about Saturday. And by the way, because we'll start with the Bernardini, I want to bring it up because Uriah St. Louis, he's got a horse in the Gotham, Informative, off the maiden win. And... He's making a habit, Andy, of bringing horses along.
Mm-hmm. And that event has been around a while. Finished third in the Wood Memorial.
God, that feels ages ago.
I think won by the Todd Rapoli horse a few years ago. I can't remember his name. Was it Outflank or something like that?
Could be. There's one of those. That's a name that rings a
bell. It's a close
finish.
I remember that. Held off somebody. Yeah. No, he's a neat horse, actually. Just keeps running. Nice performance by Gary's horse off the claim. Gary's having a big winter. You have Gary on the show?
We did after he won the stake. The 2-year-old stake.
Yeah, he's having a good winter. His horse are really
very running. Much. Very much.
That would be Gary Siaka, one of the many Garys. It's a lot of Garys. Apparently Gary is a very big name for training in New York.
Well, do you have to be Italian to there must have been an era. There was a period of time when, right?
Yes.
Between Gullo and Siaka and Contessa.
So, anyway, I think the second horse ran well in there. I wonder how Bernardini gets a race at 1 5/16 named
That's a great question, but that happens a lot where a horse, you know, you want to honor a horse and it's some...
Foregoes at 7 furlongs. Of course,
Sword dancer, right?
You know some of the horses that forego beat at 7 furlongs?
Forgo.
Mr. Prospector. It might have been Mr. Prospector's first defeat. You can find that on YouTube when he won the Carter. The race is essentially a merry-go-round race, except for Forgo, who closes seven wide from last. He also beat Dr. Patches at seven furlongs very late in his career. Might have been his last win. Dr. Patches, of course, is one of five horses that did what? Do you know this trivia question?
No. Frame it again.
Dr. Patches is one of five horses. One of five horses that finished ahead of what horse?
Ooh.
Well, he's only famous for beating one horse. Which apparently you don't even know.
No, I'm
Patterson at Meadowlands in 1978 with Angel Cordero. Who, not coincidentally, rode that, the other horse, the rest of his career. A career that ended with a win, I believe, in the Stuyvesant at Aqueduct.
I can't.
This is not a proud moment for you, Steve.
Well, I'm drawing a complete. Hold on.
Some bum named Seattle Slough.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
You're going to say what?
I was heading in that direction, to be honest. But
heading
I
in that direction.
I was heading.
Dr. Patches beat Slough.
I was not. I was a high school senior.
You, the man who John Nehru's biggest fan.
Yes, it's true.
Really.
It's true. But I, you know, Dr. Patches, though, is, I mean, he was a champion, right? He won a championship.
No.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he was a champion.
Really? Okay.
I think he was. I think he was older male. I think he was older male champion.
Really? When?
I believe 77
wouldn't have been a Forgo.
I don't think Dr. Patches was
a champion, but maybe he was. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Let's go to the resources, and I'm gonna, because I'm troubled by my lack of Dr. Patches awareness.
Well, Seattle Slough.
I listened to
the Patterson, which you can find on YouTube, by the way.
He was the champion sprinter of 1978.
Wow. Okay, there you have it.
He actually shared it he shared the honor with J.O. Tobin.
Oh. I think J.O. Tobin won the Tom Fool.
J.O. Tobin was a hell of a horse.
Yes, he was. We beat Sal. He's also one of the five. The others are Exceller. I want to say Text and somebody else. Oof. I can't remember.
Wow. Well, I will say this.
He was fourth in the swap, so three finished ahead of him.
I will. This is certainly a year, and especially because of what went on it. And you have to. I need your Fountain of Youth the thoughts in a minute. But listen to the champions that year. Spectacular Bid, of course, was the 2 year old male champ. The filly. Candy
78 Philly. It wasn't Devona Dale.
No.
It wasn't Devona Dale. I don't think she ran a lot as a 2 year old, did she? It's hard to believe John didn't run her a lot. Wow. I have no idea.
There were co champions that year.
Okay. Tell me the trainers.
Oh, that's a great. I got to think about that for a minute. Oh my gosh! Because Tony rode her, and it's a
oh, Caesar's Wish.
It's a no. It's a woman, and I'm gonna.
Mom's Wheel was not that year.
Not Mary Epler, but it's a Mary. Because Tony has talked about
who's the horse?
Candy Eclair. Candy Eclair.
Oh sure, okay.
Candy Eclair.
I remember her vaguely. Yep. Who else? Who was the other champion?
It's in the air.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Well, last trained, it's in the air.
They shared the 2 year old
Philly
championship.
What did It's in the Air do? It's a 3 year old. Should be Devona Dale in the Alabama, Steve.
This is a dark era for
learning
me,
experience
the late 70s. Well, what can I tell you? Well, of course, Affirmed was the 3 year old male.
Right. Yeah. Right. Of course. right.
Tempest Queen was the 3-year-old filly.
That's, I think, Jose Martin.
Hmm.
Could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Wasn't she a Flying Z?
Tempest.
Maybe I have her confused with somebody else, but I feel
you rarely confuse anything. But
no, I'm sometimes confused. What's her name? Tempest Queen?
She was a Grouse Stark trained by Tom Rondinello.
Well, there, Lou Rondinello. But that means she was not. That means she was a Darby Dam.
Well,
yeah,
Lou,
she's a Darby Dan.
She is Darby Dan.
Lou Rondinello.
I know Lou. I had Lou Rondinello on the show, but I
did you call him Tom?
No, I didn't. I called him
Lou,
but I didn't.
You know,
I didn't know. Did. I didn't know he had a. I didn't know he had one of those names that was something other. You know, this could be an Albertrani situation.
Next. Who else was a champion that year?
McDarmid.
Who?
McDarmid.
McDarmid?
Yep.
Yeah, McDarmid. I think he won his first, like, 10-star. Scotty trained him. Those are
the
horses back then.
I've told you that story, right? With McDarmid?
No. I think he did, actually, but go ahead.
When we had the one of those dinners, Mary Ryan and Bill Hirsch, and at Las Brisas in Hollywood.
Las Brisas still exists?
No, it's gone. It's gone, sadly.
Eat there back when I used to go in the 90s.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Scotty, Randy was a young boy, and
I saw Randy this summer, by the way.
Did you really?
Stopped by the tent and said hi, yeah. First time I've seen him in a long time.
I've tried to reach him a couple of times.
He stopped by and said hi one day. It was great.
They were in trouble. Scotty was in trouble, and he was going to pack it in, and he was going to go back to South Carolina. And McDarmid came along and won those 10, 11 straight. And
he was amazing.
Changed his fortunes. Krugay did ride him, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's a picture of Johnny D winning probably the first Turf Classic, but one of the early Turf Classics at Aqueduct. If you look on the wall as you walk towards where the studio is, that corner, there's two pictures. There's a picture of Johnny D by himself, Cawthon riding him. Michael Kay trained him. And Mike Kay. And the other picture is the above view of three horses, and it's the Suburban at Aqueduct in early July of Foolish Pleasure, so it's 76. Foolish Pleasure on the inside beating Forgo and Lord Roubaix.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never noticed. I've seen those pictures, but I...
Well, you just don't know who they are, but I love that. The picture with Foolish Pleasure and Forgo and Lord Roubaix is really... I love that picture. I really love that picture. Steal it from my office.
Well, those have got to be Bob and Adam have got to have those pictures.
I would think so. I should ask Adam, actually. I should get a copy of it. Really,
and, you know,
it's also, you know, it's the whole panoramic of the grandstand aqueduct, and it's packed, you know, and you know, people will forget. I mean, it's funny, you know, I was looking through those books yesterday where I have those charts from the 70s of Aqueduct and Belmont, because I read an article that inaccurately described No Bias is winning the Vosburgh in his second race, two races, days back-to-back. And, of course, that's revisionist history because he did win back. He did run back-to-back. He didn't win both, but it was the Fall Highway where he had second honorable miss. And I have the charts to prove it. But, for instance, like Aqueduct, okay? What I have for Aqueduct is the fall meet in 74, for instance. I think it's 74. Hang on, let me... This is when my wife's out of my room. Hang on. It is 74. So Aqueduct, I'm going to, you know, am I looking at this? Aqueduct opened on October 14th in 74, which is unusual, right? And then they took the break back then. They had that. That's probably why they opened earlier, right? And I have them running December 24th. And then let's see what I have as the next racing day. Hang on. No, I'm running it after Christmas. They were out off for Christmas, but they ran the 24th, then they ran 26th, 27th. Let's see. They ran January 1st, even, at Aqueduct. There were only 18,000 people there on New Year's Day.
Mm. Amazing.
They ran January 22nd. Wow, they ran into January. But they didn't have the winner. This is not the winner. This is an hour and 75. Okay. You know how many people were there on Saturday, January 4th, which was right before the break? But the break wasn't long. It was only 6 weeks. So they came back on February 24th. They had 36,000 people there on closing day, January 4th. Sing, who I believe was trained by the Chief. No, John Russell trained him, actually. He was a fifth source. He won the stake. They came back on February 24th. Only 23,900 showed up. It was raining, and the track was sloppy. They have all these charts, right? But they ran until, hang on, it's hard to, you know, the tape has been, and the glue has gone off, but I have the charts here, right? Okay, so there's the 25th, 20, I'm sorry, I'm just looking through this.
These are the chart books, the...
No. These are notebooks when I was a little kid. And the Times used to print a condensed form of the charts, and I cut them out. I was a zealot, you know, sicker then than I am now. I started using electrical tape later, and it held much better. So they ran. I have my own recreated chart of the wood, along with a California Derby chart. There's also some great pictures that I used to cut out from days. They ran at Aqueduct into May, right? Like, so closing day at Aqueduct, oh, my God. Closing day at Aqueduct was Saturday, May 31st. And you know who won the Mother Goose? Ruffian.
Nice.
And I have to start right here.
Yeah.
So they ran at Aqueduct until the end of May, 75. And then they went to Belmont for Monday, June 2nd. I got up all these charts. I have all this great stuff, like pictures cut out from like, you know, the match race and different things like that. And anytime there was a picture of a horse winning, I would cut it out. So I have like some pictures of kind of cool horses winning, you know, winning different stakes and different things at times. And
you know,
I have all those charts. And then the time stopped printing the full chart. They just put the results, and that's when I stopped doing it. So if they had kept them for years, I would have kept more notebooks, and I'd have all those charts, but I don't.
How many of these do you have?
I have two little notebooks filled with them.
That's great.
Yeah, I have about a year and a half of charts or so. Yeah, this would be cool. That's why I have those charts of No Bias, you know, when he ran the back-to-back races.
You should, people are going to get a kick out of this. Take a couple of pictures from the notebook and put them on Twitter, please.
I don't know.
People will love it.
Be a little too personal.
Well, you've made so many nice friends the last couple of days.
I love these people on Twitter.
They seem nice.
So great.
Are you taking any of them to the French Film Festival this week?
I will not be. I will have to get their own tickets. They're not invited anywhere. Really amazing. You know, it's funny, somebody was just talking about it on a message board on Pace Advantage about the foolishness that surrounds Maxim Security. I know you don't really want to talk about this Saudi Cup, but we'll talk
you
about
can,
Maxim Security
you can,
if you don't mind.
You can, now that it's over. Yeah.
This, and it's the same narrative as, like, Songbird and Zenyatta, right? Where if you're not, you know, genuflecting at the altar of the supposed greatest horse that ever lived, then you're a hater. As though there's sort of no middle ground between, you know, insane devotee and hater. You know, you're not allowed to critically analyze. And I think the thing that these horses have in common is that it's the horses that win all the time, right? It's like the people that can't get over the fact he was disqualified in the Derby. Who cares? He was disqualified. Who cares? Besides the connections. It doesn't matter. So he gets disqualified. He ran a terrific race. There's nobody out there that's denying, nobody's saying that's denying he ran the best race in the Derby, though I would argue that Game Winner ran an amazing race there too, and Tassinus also ran pretty well, but there's no knocking his performance in the Derby, but he was also justifiably DQ'd. So let's move on, you know? I mean, when you compare the DQs of like Dr. Fager and Secretariat in what were those, like the Garden State and the was it the champagne or something? You know, those were robberies. This was not. This was not a robbery. This was a legitimate DQ. I'm forgetting about that. He's a really terrific horse. Where he stands in the pantheon of great horse of all time, well, that's a very different discussion. Do you really want to stack his PP? You know, people should stack his PPs up next to Skip Away. A horse that probably just about nobody that says that, you know, Maxim here is this great horse, which he's not, but he's a very, very, very good horse. You know, we'll see where we rate him at the end of his career. And I'm not knocking him. I think he's a tremendous horse. He's a really cool horse, and he ran well this weekend. But if you put his PPs next to Skip Away, who most people would say, oh, give me a break. And then you looked at him, you looked at the figures, and you looked at how often he ran, and all the races he ran. There might be a few people who go, maybe I need to get a little perspective. And, you know, Skip Away lost a lot of races. The problem is people have trouble, it seems. Some people have trouble with horses that lose, right?
Yes.
And, like, it's like the current narrative that Tacitus is some sort of fraud. Well, that's just BS. Tacitus, off a five-month layoff, lost by three lengths to the mighty Maxim Security. So let's get a little perspective on that. Now, I'm not saying he's as good as Maxim Security, because he's not. But he's also not that far away from being Maxim Security. And there's people that act like, you know, just because a horse loses, he can't have excuses. Except these same people are making these constant ridiculous excuses for Zenyatta in the Breeders' Cup, which is ludicrous because she got a tremendous setup. Songbird actually won the photo in the Breeders' Cup, according to some of these people. And, you know, Maxim Security has never been disqualified and all these things. They're allowed to make these insane excuses, right, for their horses that never lose. Yet you're not allowed to make the very reasonable excuse that Tacitus got, you know, this ridiculous against the bias trip in the Belmont Stakes, and once again an incredibly difficult trip to lose the Jim Dandy. Now, no, he didn't run a fabulous race in the Travers, but he certainly didn't run badly. He was contesting a pace with some bum. Oh, Mucho Gusto, who, by the way, is pretty damn good, as it turns out, and he beat him while contesting the pace. But Tacitus, he's a fraud, and the latest fraud, right, Hidden Scroll, that bum Hidden Scroll that none of these people seem to understand, who ran this huge race in his return race, arguably against nobody, and I don't disagree with the notion that Hidden Scroll needs to show up and win a big race against some good horses. I have no problem with that, but deny how good Hidden Scroll is lunacy. His race in his second career start in the Fountain of Youth in defeat was brilliant. Was every bit as good as any three-year-old ran last year and better than most. He lost. Doesn't mean he didn't run a huge race. Then he got a stupid trip in the Florida Derby, and I'm not going to blame Javier because I think he was riding to instructions. They made a mistake, okay? You can't really blame him for that foolishness because he should have been going to the front in a paceless race. Instead, he was rated and strangled back in a paceless race. Bad decision. Okay, then he fell apart. He also didn't run for, you know, over 6 months after that. So something may have gone wrong at Churchill Downs in that allowance race. But deny that Hidden Scroll has run very well in his races is stupid. It's just not, it's denying the truth, right? It's a truth denier. It's like denying climate change, right? So there's this sort of ridiculous constant narrative, and it always seems to revolve around horses that win most of the time. And winning doesn't prove everything. It's important, but it doesn't prove everything. And Max Cherry's a really, really terrific horse who ran very well this weekend. It looked in a race, it looked like he was done top of the stretch, though it was sort of impossible to watch the race because of the preposterous video coverage of it, as well as no for $20 million, no fractions, no charts, no video, you know, whatever. But he's a really good horse, but let's not get carried away. And they tend to get carried away, people, by these horses that win all the time. And winning matters, but winning often has a lot to do and less to do with Maxim Security, because in fairness, he's running big races. But, you know, winning has a lot to do with selecting your spots, right?
Yeah. No,
my rant is over.
No, it was good. It was terrific. In fact, we had talked the other day about you utilizing the visit for a fun topic, and we'll save it. I mean, we'll probably have a lot to recap next week. But we came up with the notion similar to this about the kinds of maxims that are out there that you know, people accept as truisms and as
right,
you know,
two turn, one turn, you know, misunderstanding of distance, you know, sprinters, you know, speed horses has an easier time, frequently an easier time wiring at 7 furlongs than winning at 6 furlongs where the paces are usually faster. There's a whole lot of them out there. We'll have to do it another time because I'm going to go. I really have to solidify my lunch plans.
I can't blame you. Put that on Twitter too.
What celebrity will be sitting next to me at lunch today?
Yes. Who do you do? Who's is there? An over under?
Never know. It's a veritable plethora. Steve, it's been really great, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Next Tuesday. Andy Serling, everybody, and watch for the coverage, Fox Sports, again this weekend. Another big show with, between Tampa and Aqueduct and Santa Anita. That was fun. Let's take a quick time out. We've got Dr. Allday to talk about clenbuterol, and then Mark Cassie is going to join us and flesh out in the motivation for his op-ed piece in the TDN. And I did float the idea of having them together, but it's not like a point counterpoint, really. I want Dr. Allday to explain clenbuterol's life cycle as a asthmatic, as a bronchial dilator, and how it came to be misused, essentially. And then we'll get Mark's perspective and Jeremy Plonk too before noon today. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstman, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
When I came came to Spain and I saw people barking.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All day, all night, all day, all night. Viva la fiesta, viva la noche, viva los DJ. I couldn't believe what I was living, so I called my friend Johnny and I said to him, Johnny, la gente está muy loca.
One of our favorite themes for our regular guest, Dr. Stephen Allday, Horse Health Today, brought to you by Lubricin and Reborn. And we've had this conversation in different guises and for different reasons over 15 years. And yesterday's op-ed piece in the TDN by Mark Cassie, bringing clenbuterol front and center, as Mark, who's going to join us after Dr. Allday, calls for an elimination of it from the landscape. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am good. And, you and I have discussed this because in the last 10 years, the clenbuterol abuse narrative became, you know, very much a storyline. And especially when steroids went away. And it's very clear that there's a pattern of abuse, and it's not limited to clenbuterol, the stacking topic. Am I wrong when I suggested earlier this morning that essentially, people are trying to duplicate, mimic the effect of steroids, and that's where we're at with a product being misused the way clenbuterol is being misused?
No, you're not wrong at all. It essentially, you know, all the PhD internet Googleists, they look at these drugs, and then they look for a lot of side effects, secondary effects, and that's essentially how some of these new, latest greatest medications show up, and how things show up in tests. Is they take some of the side effects that are known to occur when you, utilize certain medications, and even something as simple as, a few years ago, I can't remember how long, it's been a while now, but somebody gave a horse a blast of or gave it, or was using it apparently, the blue pills. The Viagra. They've used sildenafil or Viagra in a racehorse because one of the side effects is to get increased cardiovascular and or some of the secondary effects that you get with it. And then of course it tested, but the problem is that if used judiciously, venipalmin has a place as a medication. But the problem is the abuse and the potential abuse of it are really, really what has gone wrong. And it has become literally intolerable because everybody's looking for something to get a secondary effect. And they know it'll test, but they go ahead and leave them on it, heavy doses of it, trying to get, the anabolic and thinking that, it'll carry over. And it tends to. That's not an unusual occurrence. But the fact is, with horses housed in contaminated environments, enclosed barns in cold areas, like the barns, that occur in certain, jurisdictions during the winter and whatnot, you increase the amount of particulate matter. So, bronchodilation and increased expectoration, meaning moving these particles out, is a good thing. And with the normal battery, let's say if you're using antibiotics and then you want to try to get an expectorant and or bronchodilation effect so you get increased circulation to an area that's affected so you can clear it up quicker, yes, it has a certainly applicable situation. And the fact that horses that have allergies, it helps rid a lot of those symptoms as well when used judiciously. But when it's used overtly, in excess, the problem is that it has a tendency to be abused. And Mark's point, unfortunately, is just, it's another medication that's that's basically going to go by the wayside. And it's probably, you know, necessary just to basically outlaw it or rule it off, just so that can't occur. And so from that standpoint, I mean, as a veterinarian, I use clenbuterol only on sick horses. I didn't have guys use it routinely. But a lot of guys' thought process was that, hey, it's our job as a trainer to push the envelope as far and as close as we can to the jurisdictional levels and or thresholds. And, you know, I don't know where that came from, but I've heard that quote directly from a leading trainer in the country once upon a time. And it wasn't exactly, you know, something I was used to. Of course, I don't work for the guy, but I heard him say it at a dinner one night. And, that's just the culture that's been created in racing in this country, that people think that it's their duty to push the envelope to try to get the best they can for their owners and the sort.
Included some of the studies, the recent studies, and one of the things that's different that points to a few different things I want to bring up with you. But one of the elements of this that's different about clenbuterol and its use, it was developed specifically for horses. This is not something that was elsewhere and is being used, as they say, off label. This was a product geared for horses originally, right?
Yes, it was. And the first place that you could get it in the North American continent was Canada. They used both clenbuterol powder, and they came up with another drug called spetalysin at the same time. And then they came up with injectable forms of it, of both of them. And then eventually venipolin became, and you know, was evolved into a syrup, you know, which is the liquid that we have now that's on the market. And then, of course, the reason that it was even more troublesome for, you know, the FDA in this country was that they were using it, a lot of the beef processing and feedlots were using it as an adjunct for beef cattle to put on more muscle and higher feed conversions. But the problem is that they didn't have it in, outside the withdrawal, they found that some people had allergic reactions to it as well. So, I mean, so it got to be very problematic in the feed industry, the food industry, as far as beef was concerned as well.
There's a number of side effects, and again, if it's used properly and as a bronchodilator and as a expectorant, I think we might have lost Steve. Did we lose Steve? I'm almost sure. I heard that noise. that usually means gone. We'll get Steve back. And what I'll mention is there's several problematic side effects. And again, when the product is being used with an intent to basically, you know, build up the amount in the bloodstream, essentially, and to mimic steroidal properties. The problem, several problems. There we go. Steve is back. Steve, I was just getting into some of the side effects when the product is misused, and it includes things, essentially addiction-like properties, that when you then take the horse off of it. And obviously, if you've misused it, you're basically going to have a strung out horse that
sure
is susceptible to, you know, to heart arrhythmias and things like that. There's also and one of the things about this that you can probably, maybe I'm connecting dots too aggressively, but it's a product that'll leach potassium out of the body.
Yes.
And that can only lead to brittle bones, correct? I mean, that can't possibly.
Not potassium, but if it were calcium or phosphorus, yes. But potassium would be more indicative of muscular and or cardiovascular function. Things like this would be that's one of the problems. I'm not sure, you know, I mean, I'd like to see the one study cited that, you know, it that it supposedly, you know, creates, you know, lowered density of bone density or whatever. But, I mean, I haven't seen that. But the bottom line is, I mean, you know, it's abused. I mean, that's what it all comes down to. And, you know, and just extrapolating, you know, from studies, you know, that it does or doesn't do certain things, you know, anything that will create increased heart rate, which it does, and cardiovascular, like cardiac output and bronchodilation, is performance affecting. Let's get sure. real here, you know. So therefore, you know, people are looking to get that effect, because once upon a time, before they had tests for this stuff, guys were using it, you know, that had incredible strike rates. I remember guys with the standardbreds. There was one guy that showed up there, and he was giving everything clenbuterol, and then he was killing it. And then all of a sudden, they had a test for it. Boom, he disappeared. Like, you know, all of a sudden he was a super trainer, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. You know that. So yeah. I mean, let's face it; it does has tremendous potential for performance enhancement and abuse, and that's a really, really bad combination for racing. So,
very well said, and we'll let Mark expand on the motivations and the impressions of how we could, you know, move beyond it. And you know, at the same time, excuse me, Steve. At the same time, I want to fold in the Georgina Baxter suspension, 25 days, and, you know, the stacking concept, which in the last couple of years, it basically has the same, it's basically the same concept, correct? I mean, in this case, Flunixin and Butte, and, yeah. you know, stacking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories to get the steroidal benefits.
Yes.
All right.
Well, Steve, listen, you know, with the industry being at a, you know, critical juncture, and with everyone essentially in the spotlight, you know, two things that I think need to be, they've got to come to the forefront is that the fact that someone knowingly gave two anti-inflammatories on top of a race means that they more than just pushed the envelope, they went, you know, they stepped across the line. And number two, obviously this must be a horse that requires, you know, extra anti-inflammatories or has a pre-existing problem. So essentially something is getting missed in the communication that, you know, we're not, you know, this is unacceptable because of eventually you can do damage to a horse. Okay, if he's got a problem already and you're having to use multiple anti-inflammatories, there must be something that we're trying to cover up, mask, or essentially overcome. Now, that's a recipe for disaster in a race because, you know, we are already at a critical juncture. So when you are, you know, I think the only way that this can be perceived and then eventually adjudicated correctly is that, you know, the penalty in this case is probably not severe enough, and or the time or suspension or fine combination to where obviously, you know, these things are not enough of a deterrent to stop this from happening. So this is like a slap on the wrist, and a slap on the wrist is not working anymore. I mean, now I think, you know, I think something around the wrist might work better, you know, so you might get someone's attention a little bit more completely.
I want to ask you, well said. I want to have you do one thing that I know I asked you years ago, because when it comes to those that are not, you know, directly connected with the care and treatment of horses, the two products that have been mentioned here today that can easily be confused, and that's Butte, phenylbutazone, and clenbuterol,
yes.
And right. Differentiate the two, because some people think when they hear about Butte itself is essentially an analgesic, but it, and in and of itself, a useful medication, and not a you know, not something that used properly, anybody would argue with. But it does get confused with, because of the word Butte in their names, the two of them can be easily conflated.
Well, they are. They are. Vena Pullman is a trade name. Clenbuterol is the generic name of a bronchodilator that has, its main effect is bronchodilation and increased cardiac output. Therefore, you increase the bronchial tree, meaning there is a transferal of more and capacity for more oxygen transferal in both the upper and lower respiratory tract. And also it has an effect. You'll see when a horse has a reaction to it, that some horses are extremely sensitive to it, they'll really sweat, break out, you know, I mean, and it kind of makes them a little crazy because it increases cardiac output, like it makes heart rate, and really increases heart rate, you know, quite considerably in a short period of time. And we'll make one really, really char revved up. So, you know, you got to be careful about how much you give. Some horses are extremely sensitive to it. Others require less, you know. So that is what clenbuterol or venipullman is utilized for. Phenylbutazone, better known as the trade name, or it's been called Bute for such a long time, is an injectable and or an oral anti-inflammatory with analgesic properties. And it's utilized both to decrease inflammation, swelling, and if used judiciously, has a quite profound effect. And it's not used to, it can be abused like anything. You can use too much. But if under controlled situation, it's quite useful in the right hands, but not to cover up defects, injuries, or to overcome things of this nature. When you take and stack, like we're talking about with the Georgina Baxter article that you sent me, which I don't know her. I don't even know who she is. But essentially, she used two. One is really, really acutely reactive or works really, really quickly, which is Flunixin, Meglamine, or Banamine is a trade name it was called once upon a time, or it still is, but now there's tons of generics out there. And it kicks in really quick and is a very, very short half-life, whereas Bute basically takes a little longer to kick in and get a blood level, but it basically will last a lot longer. So essentially, she probably gave Bute the night before, maybe Banamine in a closer deal, and probably both of them did clear. Or the fact that she had both of them that showed up in both serum and or urine was obviously against, I guess it was Florida, correct? Is that a good assumption?
Yes,
Which... So, you know, they found both, and that's illegal, and, you know, that's was more than, she got both days and a $7,500 fine, I thought. But bottom line is, one's for anti-inflammatory, one's for respiratory, one has abuse for secondary effects for muscle and things of this nature. The others basically will cover up lameness or, you know, chronic problems. And both of them, like, have potential for abuse. Obviously, clenbuterol has a lot more potential for abuse because of, obviously, the performance enhancement that goes along with it as well.
Hey, Mark is going to call for the abolition of it completely from the game. And Steve, you, a couple of minutes ago, essentially made it sound like you don't think that's a problem. You don't think that anybody would object. Then there's no reason for anybody to defend it going forward, clenbuterol.
Well, Steve, it's quite simple. You know, it's not going to be used judiciously. And it is available and dispensed, like, you know, from veterinarians to the end users. Once they have it in their hands, they're going to they tend to abuse it. So essentially, the only way to do, you know, you in order to stop a drug problem, you basically have to remove the drug, you know. So bottom line is, I guess really what has to happen is it probably needs to be removed, even though I know there are a lot of people that aren't going to be very happy with that.
That are using it, you know, as directed and without intention of trying to enhance performance. What, let's say the landscape shifts and it's eliminated the same way we eliminated steroids. What does the veterinary world do to help horses with asthma and with allergies and with the, we're not going to stop training on racetracks. We're still going to keep horses in barns with straw stored above them in poorly ventilated barns.
Yes.
I mean, this is and people, you know, people should understand that that was the origin of a product like this. And
yes.
You know, I love how people say, oh, they don't need it in Europe. Well, there's a little difference. They're out in the countryside training in yards. They don't have horses that are trained on the racetrack, you know, in the winter with the windows closed and with grain and hay stored above their heads. There's a reason that these products came into use and into fashion to help alleviate the congestion involved with the way they were housed. I mean, it's not, there wasn't nefarious intent from the get-go.
No, not at all. You know, one of the basic applications of the venipalmin, clenbuterol, originally was and older horses that had chronic allergies and or, you know, obstructive air disease, known as COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary or airway disease. And that's why it is a situation known as a heavy horse. And we would give this to these older horses that had chronic allergies whenever, and it would give them quite a bit of relief. And, of course, it's been, you know, since then, it's gone down the food chain and gone to younger horses and a lot of the side effects. And, of course, you know, this is exactly how these things
they cascade.
Eventually develop. Yeah, yep. Cascade and become a problem.
Exactly. Which is unfortunate. I mean, the steroids was the same way. There were real benefits to having steroids and using them with geldings who couldn't keep weight on. I mean, there was a lot of positives. It's unbelievable. I mean, but then, you know, listen, money's involved. Whenever there's money involved, people will do things to try to take an edge. It's just, it's the stock market. It's everywhere else.
Yes, most likely. Well, unfortunately, that is true. But like I said, you know, but I think, at least I do believe that the culture, you know, the landscape of the culture is trying to change. It has to change. I mean, it's because it's being dictated now. Because, you know, if not, you're going to see the end, you know. I mean, I don't think you'll see the end of the racing industry, but I think you'll see a dramatic decline and or, you know, you'll see a big change in it, you know, due to and the perception of the public to it. And that is actually occurring in certain jurisdictions, i.e. California right now. And what the people in our industry really need to take from this more than anything is the fact that the ambassadors or the people that are out there in the limelight, the Mark Cassies of the world in particular, are good. To be good ambassadors, you have to go the extra mile. So the removal of these things is probably a good thing, and it's probably a really beneficial situation to show them the public, which has the control of you know the existence of racing, like in jurisdictions like Florida, where they removed greyhound racing, whatever. You are at the mercy of the plurality of the public now, so therefore you better take this seriously.
Steve, this was terrific, and I hope people for those that you know don't know the ins and outs of these products and their use and abuse, valuable. Mark is actually standing by, and we'll bring Mark Cassie in. Mark, good morning. Yeah, we're going to switch off.